Okay, the next verse, Dharmarakshita, is hitting at monastics. Though clad in saffron robes, I seek protection from treacherous ghosts. Though having taken the precepts, my conduct accords that with that of a demon. Dance and trample on the head of this betrayer, false conception. Mortally strike at the heart of this butcher, the enemy, the self. Okay, so wearing robes doesn't save you from non-virtue. Because though clad in saffron robes, I seek protection from treacherous ghosts. You know, so we look like, you know, our refuge is in Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha. We hold the vows coming from the Buddha. But where's our refuge? Ghosts. You know, worldly deities. Okay, so this is, you know, of course said in the context of a society that believes very much in ghosts and demons and, you know, that kind of stuff. Of course, America does too, you know. I mean, we have lots of that stuff going on here. I was really shocked some years back when Buddhist Center was having a fundraising event by asking a medium to come and go into trance. Yeah. I wrote to some of my friends at that center. I said, what's that about? Doesn't seem very Buddhist. But, you know, okay, so it's not just in an Asian context, it's in our own, Western culture too. And this has actually become a matter of dispute within the Tibetan community, you know, over the practice of one particular spirit that many people are very attached to practicing, and other people are saying, you know, no, it's a spirit, and it's become the source of a lot of dispute within the tradition. Yeah, but what this line is emphasizing is that our refuge should be in the Buddha, Dharma, Sangha, not in worldly beings that may be powerful but cannot grant us the, you know, ultimate refuge. Okay, though having taken precepts, my conduct accords with that of a demon. So, you know, we may have taken precepts, but how do we behave? Like a demon. You know, in other words, looking like a good show, but, you know, breaking the precepts. And so this is, you know, in the age of degeneration, this is difficult, a difficulty within the Buddhist community. And I think that's why it's very important that, lay people hold monastics to a high standard. You know, don't expect us to be perfect. We aren't perfect. We aren't Buddhas. We're going to make mistakes. But also, I think some of what you find people just kind of poo-pooing stuff or ignoring stuff, I don't think that's helpful to the monastic community either. Now, I'm not saying that you go and out and criticize and yell and scream and, you know, stir up trouble and, you know, make public demonstrations and stuff, or talk about people behind their back. I mean, that's just all very disruptive. But what I'm talking about, let me give some examples, okay, is you see some Tibetan monks who come to America, you know, with their monastery on some fundraising things, and then Americans take them all to the shopping center and take them to McDonald's, you know, take them to the beach. You know, that's not the way to treat a monastic. So then when, you know, the young monks, you know, the Westerners take them to the beach, and, you know, what are they looking at? You know, half-naked people. And so, and then the Westerners think, you know, oh, you know. I mean, sometimes just the way people treat monks, going up and hugging monks and nuns, yeah, or sometimes people, they don't know how to treat monastics, and so then the monastics, their discipline becomes quite loose. Okay? You know, so, you know, it's not... Oh, here's another example. Some lay people in Kansas were telling me about this, that one monk had been living there, you know, with them for some time, and he was about to leave, and they asked him, oh, is there any place you want to go before you leave? And he said, well, I keep seeing this sign, you know, C-A-S-I-N-O. What is it? You know, I want to go there. And they took him. You know? So this is not the way. So what I'm talking about holding monastics to a high standard is don't spoil them and put them in situations where they can break their vows. You know, flirting with them or, you know, buying them things that they really don't need. You know, extravagant things because you want to look like a rich benefactor, win their favor, or something like this. It's not healthy for them. You know, whether they're ordinary monks and nuns, or whether they're the young tulkus, because it's especially attractive to do that with the young tulkus, you know. Oh, reincarnation of a great master, yes. And then it's so much good karma to make offering to them. So, you know, we offer them Nintendo sets, we offer them this, we offer them that. Then they spend all that time playing with the toys that we've got them instead of doing their studies. Okay? Or we want them to come on tours of America so we can take them to Disneyland and have a good time and take them to the beach. You know, if you bring them to America, give them an educational tour. Take them to the inner city. Help them develop compassion. You know, but we don't know how to treat people. And so, you know, we draw them into samsara, which causes degeneration in the monasteries. So that's what I mean by holding them to a higher standard. You know, not that you go around criticizing them, but that from your side you relate to them and show them that you expect them to act like a monastic and that you're not going to have any business with this other stuff that is going around. Yeah, I mean, like, some years back there, because the nuns haven't made such an impact on the West, you know, of course not. But some nuns from this lovely nunnery in outside of Swayambhu in Nepal had come to America and sponsored by one of the universities on the East Coast. And so some of those professors from those universities, they wanted to establish a branch of the nunnery here. And they had kind of asked me, you know, how to go about doing that. And I said, why do you want to do that? Why? You know, what's your motivation? Because, you know, superficially, you know, yeah, that's a good idea, establish a branch of the Tibetan nunnery here. But I've seen so much what's happened to the monks. I said, why do you want to do that? You know, what benefit is there going to be by having a branch of the nunnery here besides raising funds? You know, because the young nuns will come here in the middle of America. People will take them here and there. They will wind up giving up back their vows like so many of the monks have because, you know, they're coming from a totally different culture, a totally different atmosphere. It's better that they stay in Swayambhu. And if you want to help them with fundraising, you raise the money and send it there so that they can have good teachers that teach them in their own environment without exposing them to all this hoopla that we have here that they don't know how to handle. That was my humble opinion. But, you know, I had to say it because I care about them. You know, and I also said, look, that nunnery had very few older nuns. The older nuns need to stay there with the young ones and teach. You know, don't bring them over here. They need to be back there and be the role models for the young nuns. And don't bring the young nuns over here because the young nuns, you know, they need to be in a more restricted environment. Instead of with all the sense pleasure we have here. So then the next verse. Though the gods bestow me happiness, I propitiate evil spirits. Though the Dharma guides me, I deceive the three jewels. Okay, so the gods, meaning it could mean the deities, the different deities, Manjushri, you know, and so on, bestow me happiness, you know, by leading us on the path, teaching us. I propitiate evil spirits. So again, you know, this is the thing of, you know, somebody having wrong refuge. Though the Dharma guides me, I deceive the three jewels. So though the Dharma is the true refuge, what's really going to lead us from suffering, when it comes to being honest with our spiritual mentor, we hide all of our faults. okay? When it comes to being open, you know, we aren't going to do that. When it comes to confessing, well, you know, and I'm telling you, even confessing in our own practice where you don't have a teacher or an older sangha or somebody there, you know, just even in our own practice, visualizing the Buddhists and Bodhisattvas and confessing, no, it's still somebody else's fault. I don't have a lot to confess. Okay? So the Dharma guides us, we deceive the three jewels. Okay? So again, dance and trample on the head of this betrayer, false conception, mortally strike at the heart of this butcher, the enemy, the self.